You know, we've been going back to John. I love John. I think it's one of the clearest presentations of the gospel. And it just is a blessing to me every time I get to teach it. And I don't ever tire of teaching it. We're going back about 5-6 months ago when we finished chapter 12, the last part of that. And when we did that, what happened was that we've finished the public preaching of Jesus. Now, up to chapter 12, at the end of it, why, this is the ministry, the healings, the preaching to the crowds, the problems with the Pharisees and whatever. Now, when he went to chapter 13, it switches. Chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 is the private teaching of Jesus to his apostles. He's in an upper room. He's out in a garden, and he's dealing with some things they're going to have to face because he knows his time has come, and he's going to go to the cross, and he's trying to explain it to them and help them to understand it. And so some very interesting passages that we're going to have beginning with chapter 13. Now then, when you get to chapter 17, you have the real prayer of Jesus for his disciples, including you. It's the whole church, all time. Beautiful, beautiful passages. And then if you would turn to John 20, verse 30, verses 30 and 31. You ought to mark this in your Bible if you're not familiar with the verse. And if you don't remember it, I'll keep reminding you. Long as I'm here. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He don't have it all. You have what John remembered and what he thought it was important to tell. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Wow. He's telling you that's an evangelistic book. When I first got saved, I just started at the beginning of the Bible. I had no better sense than that. I didn't know to go to John to start off with in Romans. After I've been a Christian for a while and a preacher for a while and trying to lead some people how they started, I started them reading the book of John. Read the book of John. Read it 5 times before you go anywhere else. And if you haven't done it, do it. Because it's a beautiful thing. It's a testimony. And basically most of my life, my 66 years of preaching, has been evangelism. I've done a lot of teaching, but I've done an awful lot of evangelism. And it's just a blessing. John is an old man. He didn't get crucified, but he got banished. He's out on an island, a prison with no bars, because he can't get off of that place. And so he writes his books. And his books are 2 real books, about 20 pages each, and 3 letters or so. And man, what a blessing. He's in his old age. He's probably seen all the other things that are written down. Most of the apostles are already gone. I think he's probably about the last living apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time in his life. And he writes not only John, he writes the book of Revelation. Wow. Put Daniel and Revelation together, that's a study. You'll learn something there. You'll find something about history that was prophesied before it came to pass. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things. Now, I remember when I first started reading the Bible, I read Genesis and I read Exodus, and there was a passage in Exodus that just sort of surprised me and shocked me. And it was when Moses has been put out in the desert and he finds this bush or tree that burns but is not consumed. And he goes over to it, and one of the problems he has, he doesn't know this God. He was not raised in the Hebrew teaching. He was raised in the secular teaching of Egypt. And so he does not know his name. He does not know what God's name is. And he wants to know God's name. And he asks God, what is his name? And look, if you will, if you want to, at Exodus 3:14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am has sent me unto you. Who are you going to tell them? Well, I'm going to go out there and preach and tell you, my God, your God, sent me to deliver you. Well, what's his name? I am. Is that sort of shocking to you? It was to me. I was looking for Jehovah or Yahweh or something like that I might think. No. He said, I am. Tell him I am has sent you. Now, that's another thing about the Gospel of John. There are 7 statements in the Gospel of John about I am. I want you to look at them with me, if you will. John 6:35. John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Wow, that's a tremendous statement. What do you live by? You live by bread. That's the common thing you'd think about what your food is. Well, my bread is whatever. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. John 8:12 says, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Well, I guess he is. You know that. Not only that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, but he gives light inside, into insight, understanding of the Word of God, understanding where things happen in your life, coming to the place that you can thank God and rejoice in God even in the midst of tribulation and troubles. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wow! Isn't that tremendous? Amen. Looked like tremendous to me. Then John 10:7. Then said Jesus again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Wow, I am the door. You realize when you accept Jesus Christ, you open the door to a spiritual reality. You open the door to forgiveness of sins. You open the door to spiritual power and comfort and blessing. Amen. What is God? He's the door. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You'll have comfort. And I can say, 66 years ago, I walked through the door. And on the inside was better than anything I'd ever had on the outside. Man, when I realized my sins were forgiven, is that true? Yes, that's true. You accept Christ, your sins are forgiven. So much of religion is you trying to earn something from God. And that's a big mistake. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Said over and over again. It's the gift of God. Wow. Eternal life. Have the light of life. He shall be saved. Go in and out and find pasture. He's the door. It's not religion. It's not even repentance. It's not even a change of your life. It's Christ paying your debt, and you just simply rejoice in receiving the debt. Beautiful, beautiful. I am the door. John 10:11. All of these are in one book, this book of John, this last living apostle. I am the good shepherd. Well, there's no doubt there's some bad shepherds, and this is the good one. I am the good shepherd. You know, I've seen the way people treat animals at different times. And I'm an animal lover. That doesn't mean I didn't hunt. I hunted most of my life. I don't hunt now because it is too much work. But at any rate, A good shepherd knows his sheep and takes care of them. And that's a lot of work. And some of you, I know you love your dogs better than I do because you sleep with them. Mine gets to come into the house when I take him from the backyard to the garage. And then the next morning I let him out of the garage into the backyard. See, he's really favored. He's in my house. But I'm not like you. I got some friends that actually sleep with a great big hound. I don't know whether they kiss at night. I'm not sure. But at eve, they got comfort, you know. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And then John chapter 11, verse 25 said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
Wow. How do I get a resurrection? Taking Christ as my Savior. Believing the message that he gave. Dealing with him spiritually, with an understanding. And wow, isn't that a beautiful blessing when God reveals something into your heart and you know it's true for you? And though you know that you just you do not have the strength that you need for maybe whatever trials that you have coming your way, but that God, the Holy Spirit, is with you. And his power is what lets you win. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This physical body is going to die one of these days. I know you keep expecting it, and it doesn't happen. And so, I'm sorry about that, but somebody asked Billy Graham when he was about 99 years old. He died at 99, by the way. He lived a long time. And asked Billy Graham, said, you're old, you're going to die. What do you think about that? He said, well, I'm looking forward to it with great anticipation. I'm going to see God face to face. I'm going to see God face to face. And I'm going to be reunited with my wife. She'd been dead 10 years. She died 10 years before he did. And he said, and all the friends that I have. Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
yes, sir. I am the resurrection and the life. Even though I die, don't you believe I'm dead? I just got promoted. I'm looking forward to my promotion. This one has pain. I don't think the other one's going to have that. This one has disappointment. I get disappointed every time I turn on the news. Don't you?
Yeah.
All this, if you really want to be a big hero and dress up like a soldier and get you an AR-15, why would you go and shoot kids? It makes absolutely no sense. Not at all. I am the resurrection and the life. Man, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then John 14:6, one of the more famous verses that most people know very well. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now this is a verse that is really hated by some people, some Christians supposedly. You see, he's saying, I am the only way. And some people don't take that. They think all roads lead to heaven, they just go into a different direction, you know. They think that all religions and all religious places around the world have, you obey their way, you have that way of getting to God, and God will be pleased with that. That's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
And John very definitely teaches it very clearly in the Gospel of John here. And what we have here is that I am the way. He didn't say I am a way.
Right.
Not even I'm the best way. He said I am the way.
Amen.
If I remember from my English, which I taught for 20 years, that's pretty exclusive. If you believe that verse, then that means there's an awful lot of people that are wrong. And though it might be pride that for you to say that your way is the best way or your way is the only way, But John didn't have a bit of problem. He says up here, I am the way, talking about Jesus said, the truth. You mean there's not any other truth? No, there isn't any other truth unless it matches up with what Jesus said.
Amen.
You know, I got a Bible here, and I don't go very far in any direction away from what this book says. You can change my mind, and I have changed my mind, and I've changed my doctrine, and I've changed my practice several times in my 66 years. But you know something? If you want to change me, you got to prove it to me out of a King James Bible. That's my authority. I bought every translation that came out. I had them, and they're spread out right now. I don't know where they are. When I came into San Antonio, I gave up most of them. But the thing of it is, I have an authority. And it's my authority. You may not like it. You may disagree with me. You may be, you know, the ancient Greek, or, and I don't think you do really. But my truth is right here. I read it a lot of times. You know, I had some things I didn't understand, but I never found a mistake. I never found something that contradicted the doctrine that I preach and teach right now. This book is my authority. And if you have to add words to the verse as it's written to make your point's wrong.
Amen.
You need to work with your point until you get it to where you don't have to add anything to make it explained and understood. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What I have in me is the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a wonderful God. I'm sure we don't understand Him very well yet. I used to think when I got up and going to see God, I was really going to ask these questions. There's some questions I've been studying, and I just don't have my satisfaction and whatever. When I get up to God, I'm going to, nah. When I see God, I'm going to fall flat on my face.
Amen.
And say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
He'll say, welcome, son. And I say, yes, Father. Some of you didn't have a good father. I had a very good father and mother, really did, had a wonderful home life. And my dad, when I was about 16 and I was a little bit rough and getting into some troubles, my dad told me one time, said, Lendell, no matter where you go, no matter how far you are away, no matter how bad the situation seems, you can always come home and I'll welcome you. You're my son. Isn't that something? Praise God. Man, that was a blessing to me. And it's a blessing to me right now. Blessing to me right now. I had a dad that loved me, and he was going to work with me and help me if he could in any way he could. But, and he did all of his life. I have a heavenly father. Do you know he's that way? You can come back to him anytime.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe you messed up. Maybe you made some wrong decisions. Maybe you got yourself in a crack.
Yeah.
Just go to God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
God is merciful. God is forgiving.
Amen.
And God is infinite. Amen. You don't wear him out. Do you think you can wear God out? Wow, you can't. I am the way, I am the truth. When you got him, you got the truth. How about I'm the life? Are you alive? Do you have spiritual truth? Well, you got the life of Christ in you today.
Amen.
And by the way, I'm not waiting till I die to get eternal life. I have eternal life right now. And you do too. You may be the just someone just got saved and you had so many sins you didn't think God could forgive you. But He can. Because what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary pays for my sin. And God gives it to me as a gift. Not as a reward. It's the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's something. Now, John chapter 15, I am the true vine. There are a lot of vines out there. There are a lot of teachings out there. There are a lot of people out there who think they know something. And they're in their pride, they just are blowing their horn. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Verse 5, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. How about that? I look at the God's mercy, and it just is one of my most rejoicing thoughts. And the older I get, the more I'm happy with it. And I'm very thankful. I will thank the Lord for the blessings. Let me tell you something. I thank God for the prayers He didn't answer. You might not, but I've learned to live long enough that that would have been a bad move. You wouldn't have wanted to go that direction. Praise God. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Well, look, if you will, at chapter 13. Wasn't that interesting, those I ams out of John? It always has fascinated me. You don't find a whole lot of them in anywhere else, but you do in the book, Gospel of John. And it is back in the Old Testament, tell them, I am sent you. And that is a joke to me when I think, wow, I'm going to go tell all these people, these slaves, I'm going to deliver them. Well, what's the name of my God? I am. And I am sent me to you. Wow. That's way back in Moses' time, you know. Bless your heart. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. He's getting them together, and he's teaching them how they need to respond to the next few weeks in life. And that he also teaches us how to respond. We need to respond just like they did. You can learn something from here. He's not talking with the crowd. He's not talking to the Pharisees. He's not debating with the priests or the smart aleks and anybody that wanted to put it over on him. He knew his hour was come, and he's going to depart out of the world. Having loved his own in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Judas is the treasurer. Now, I thank the Lord for honest treasurers. But man, have we had experience with a lot of people who aren't honest? I mean, they're big people, they're important people, but that money, it just grabs a hold of them, and they get a hold of it. Well, he's probably had the same problem. He bore the bag. That's what John tells about him. He kicked the bag. And so, I mean, I heard on the news just this last year of some big church here in San Antonio, and the treasurer had stolen $250,000, you know, trying to put everything right. I don't know the church, and I wouldn't be able to appoint. I couldn't care less. It's just that way. How many people have lost their even retirement, or lost their houses, or other things like that because some embezzler had went around because he wanted something for himself? How many people with old people? One of the real problems with people that get old is that they have to have some other people to take care of them. And sometimes those other people learn how they write their checks, and they write their checks too. They don't care. They're not worried about you. It's just like a teenager that's going down here knocking bumps in a car. Beautiful car. Put a few bumps in it. My pickup in Guatemala, I had a new pickup. Now, I was not a rich missionary. I was about as poor as our own missionaries that we have coming out of our church when we first started. But my dad, who did not trust church offerings anymore, he said, can I use my offering to pay your pickup payment? I said, you sure can. You sure don't have to give it. And man, I've got a brand new pickup. And my dad's making the payments month by month back home as his offering to my ministry. And I'm driving around Guatemala looking like a rich missionary. I was not a rich missionary. But do you know what little kids want to do to a beautiful new pickup down in Guatemala? They want to pick up a rock that has two or three points on it and scrape the paint. Brand new. They'll just walk. That's just fun. They can't have one. They'll never own a pickup. And they scrape it. I heard about this missionary. He went in and bought him a brand new carryall. And he asked the salesman, he said, is that my pickup? Yeah. You sure it's my pickup? Yeah. You bought it? Yeah. Okay. He took out his pocket knife and just ran it right down the side of his carryall. And the salesman just, what are you doing? He said, now I can drive it. See, that salesman didn't know where that pickup was, where that carryall was going to go. But he knew that wherever he goes and he's going to get hurt feelings, when he gets the scratches, he just put the first scratch on it and now it's scratched. He saved himself a whole lot of misery. You understand? Now, I've never done that. I don't plan on doing that. And it does hurt me when somebody scratches my pickup. Yeah, anyway. Okay. I lost myself. It's what I get for chasing stories. Now look at verse 4. Wash the disciples' feet. This is a very, very interesting passage if you think about it. And you'll see it. And in fact, I know churches who have foot washing services because Jesus said you ought to wash one another's feet. But with all of us, I don't see any barefooted people in here. Now in Jesus' day, they wore sandals and they were barefooted. And even when you took your bath, when you had to walk out and walk down, they didn't have water in all their houses. You got your feet dirty. So you might have be bathed and be fine. While I was a missionary in Guatemala, I had quite a few I led to the Lord and was teaching them to preach and start churches. And I would have them with me and we would go to another town. So on Monday I went with this guy and on Tuesday I went with another guy to a different town, Thursday and Friday. And in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala, I would be there for Sunday and I would be there for Wednesday night. And these guys were poor. They didn't have running water in their houses. They did not have an indoor toilet. In fact, some of them just had a hole in the backyard just about that big. And you hope you hit it. They had what we know as the Saturday night bath. Bad once a week. But they're by Friday and they're riding in my pickup late at night and it's cold and the windows are up. It smelled bad. They were good guys. They were beautiful guys. I love them. But they smelled bad. They didn't have a bathroom like you have. And they had to pay 50 cents or something like that to a bathhouse. And they would go into the bathhouse and they would get good clothes and then come back home. But they did not have it in the house like you have it. Not for the bathroom, for the toilet, or for the shower, or bath, whatever. Interesting thing. I got to say, three of these guys that have been out there preaching, and we're coming back late in the night. And by the way, when we were there, it was in the time of of martial law because the communists were trying to take over. And there was an awful lot of killing and other things going. And the police, if you were driving at night, you better have an inside indoor light on so they can see who's in this truck or car, whatever. If you didn't, they shot it up. So you learn when you went out at night, you come, you driving with the indoor lights on so they could see inside. David's truck, they'd have shot him right quick because you can't see through those glasses. But it was an amazing thing, you know. Here these brothers, I loved them. I love them still. And you know something? They smelled bad. Now, they didn't have a chance to bathe every day. But foot washing was a common practice. In most of the houses that were good and had slaves or servants, about the most menial job in the house was the one that washed people's feet. And so here comes Jesus, verse 3, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. This is John 13:3. That God, the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and he went to God. He's ready. He rises from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then he come to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Peter talks like you do sometimes. That's true. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Okay, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. There he goes again, just like you. Don't blame too much on Peter. Don't give him such a hard time. He did walk on water, by the way. He's the only person other than Jesus Christ that ever walked on water. Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he'd washed their feet and had taken his garments back on, sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I've done unto you? He's teaching them a lesson. He's teaching them a very, very big lesson. You know what I've done to you? No, they didn't know what he'd done to them. Oh, they knew he washed their feet. He said, You call me Master and Lord. And you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given unto you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Wow. Now, there are a lot of modern ways to do this. But up in our time, almost everybody has shoes. And almost all of you have a bath and take a bath before you come to church. Put on clean clothes. I did all my washing yesterday. How about that? I'm an old widower, you know. Live by myself in a great big house. I love it. Don't have anybody to worry about but me. Hey, know what I've done to you? You call me Lord and Master. You say, Well, I am. I am the Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now that was to them in their day. And it's certainly a lesson in humility that you're not the most big important person that you think you are. Amen. And that you can serve other people too.
Yeah.
Now that just sort of sticks in the grain of some of these people, male or female. But that's the truth. Now, I've never practiced foot washing. But I did what some fellows, you know, when I was a young preacher and I went to some of these preachers' meetings, there were some preachers that said, put your shoes outside your hotel door and they'd be shined. There was a couple of preachers that would go around and pick them all up and shine the other preacher's shoes. They were trying to show the humility of washing the feet. And that would be a good thing too. But the idea is, this was an example of humility among brethren. Who's the most important in the church?
Jesus, God.
There you go. There you go. You're not the most important one. You may think we ought to do everything the way you would like it done. And isn't it a shame that we didn't listen to you? It is amazing. I've had people get mad at me. I tell you, it's sometimes not much fun pastoring 100 people. Because people are what? People. Where are most of your problems? It's people. Some people talk too much. Some people talk too little. Some people want their way all the time and will fight to get it. Somewhat like me. We have to deal with people. And if we do it from the right attitude and what Jesus was trying to teach these people to do, these apostles, we'll do it with humility and we'll think of other people's wishes before our own. And you know how beautiful that is in a person? Do you know anyone like that? I'm sure you know somebody like that. I've met quite a few people that way. And it's an amazing thing. But we need to recognize we love somebody besides ourselves. And I'm sorry to say, the biggest problem every one of us has is self. Isn't that the truth? Aren't you your biggest problem?
Yes.
And you can look at Peter and see him jumping down and walking on water and then falling and then other things like that. He's always the one to speak up. He was a leader. But you're somewhat like him.
Yeah.
And even you quiet ones that we don't recognize it in, you got it in you. What about this ego that's in all of us?
Yeah.
You think you're good looking. You don't know how poor you look. My wife, I changed colors in all my clothes. Back when I was an evangelist and a young preacher, I wore clothes of all different colors and suits of different colors and shoes of different colors, leather of different colors and whatever. And I was a full-time evangelist, like doing what Brother Purgeon did for a couple of years. And I was very, very busy. I went all across the United States and whatever. And then I got to the place I didn't like just the dress up so much. And I went to black on everything except my shirts. And I went into this store, Penner's downtown, and I put on this beautiful to me yellow shirt. And my wife is there and she said, "Oh no, Lyndall, oh no. That just fades you out." Now I don't know what she was talking about. She's smarter than me at least. And it upset me. "What do you mean? This is a beautiful shirt." No, don't buy that one. So you know what I did after that? I just took her with me every time I go. She had to go to the store with me when I picked my shirts. Because you know what would happen if I buy a shirt that she really didn't like? It wouldn't make it through the wash. I would say, Verlene, where is that shirt that I bought? I don't know. I have no idea where it is. She gave it to Goodwill. Now, we didn't have any fights over that. We'd argue about it and have fun with it, but she wasn't as mild a thing as some of you think. She come across so sweet, so lovely. She could fight like a cat. But it was a lot of fun. Man, my time is running down. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, how would you do that today? Well, you could be like those preachers and shine the shoes. Or you could just be humble with other people.
Amen.
You just let's put somebody else first sometime. You don't have to have your way all the time.
Right.
I've counseled in these 66 years many people about divorce. And I've come to an opinion. I believe most divorces are caused by selfishness on one part or both parts. I know you don't like that, but I think it's the truth.
Amen.
If you just give a little bit sometimes, let somebody else have their way sometimes. You do not have to be all important. That's what Jesus is trying to teach them. I've given you an example, verse 15. You should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and he that is sent greater than him. Pardon me. Thinking about others. The Good Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. Samaritans were half-breeds in the sense that they were not all just married to Jews. And they just didn't get along. But who is the example of love and compassion? The Good Samaritan. Think about it. When is the last time you picked somebody else up off the street, took them to a motel and paid their way, fed them and took care of them, and told the hotel they could stay a week? I have never done that. Yes, maybe one or two of you have. I don't think so. Mr. Riggs was a young preacher, and he was downtown preaching, and this guy that was a young man was living on the street, and Brent promised to pick him up at 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock or whatever. And so something happened where he couldn't go. So he calls me, and he says, Lendl, I got this guy downtown at such and such a place. Yeah, I can't pick him up. Can you go get him? I went and got him. I took him, bought him a hamburger. And he says, everybody buys hamburgers. I took him to my house. I didn't bring him to my house. I had three girls. And so I put him in my camper in my driveway. Hooked electricity up to it so he had water and he had a little bit of food and he had a good bed and a comfortable place to be. When I got him up in the next morning, I had an attitude problem. He had an attitude problem. He wasn't appreciative. He wasn't thankful. He didn't like it that I bought him a hamburger, which everybody else buys. Well, I ate hamburgers at the time. I thought I was giving him a meal. I haven't picked anybody up like that since. I had a guy, I did pick up a guy, one of these guys that'll work for food, you know. And so I was, well, what do you, I can help him. I got some free time. And so I picked him up. Where do you want to go? He told me. I took him there. Well, no, he didn't want to get out there. So then he said, I asked him, where you want to go? And he said, told me the other. I went, took him there. Now, I really didn't get up that morning wanting to please him. I really didn't. And so at the third place where he would not get out of my car. Now, I'm just a little bitty 225 now. I used to weigh 275 or 80. And I was strong most of my life. He was a young man. But I pulled him up to another place. And I got out of the car. He wouldn't get out. I got out of the car. I went around the other side. I opened the door. And I yanked him out of the house and put him on the curb. Closed my door and drove off. I have not picked up anybody since then. I don't make it as the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. Maybe it's because I got too much self in me. Maybe it's because I'm an independent, hard-headed. No. But let me tell you what. That Good Samaritan is really good.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You ought to read that over again and just realize how far you fall short of that. And that's what Jesus was teaching you and what he's teaching them here. If I'm your Lord and Master and I've done this menial task to you, shouldn't you do these things to each other?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, God bless you.
Amen.
Sunday school's over.